The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, second chapter, text number 8 through 12, given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on November 27, 1968, in Los Angeles.
I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drawing up my senses. I will not even be able to destroy it if I win an unrivaled kingdom on the earth, with sovereignty like a demigod in heaven. Sanjaya said, having spoken thus, Arjuna, chastiser of the enemies, told Krishna Govinda, I shall not fight, and fell silent. O descendant of Bharata, at that time Krishna, smiling in the midst of both the armies, spoke the following words to the grief-stricken Arjuna. The blessed Lord said,
when we become very serious in a dangerous position, as if we are lost, but Krishna's mind. Sometimes we think this is called illusion. The same example, just the man in dreaming, crying, there is a tiger, it is eating me. And the man who is asking, he is mine. Where is the tiger? And this man is crying, tiger. Similarly, when we are very much perplexed, just like the politicians, they are sometimes perplexed in political situation and claiming, this is my land, my country. The other party also claiming, it is my land, my country, and they are fighting very gravely for Krishna's mind. So what this nonsense of claiming my country, my land? It is my land and they are claiming my land and fighting. Actually, the land belongs to Krishna, but these people, under illusion, claiming, it is my land, it is my country, forgetting how long you shall belong to this country or this nation. That is called illusion. So, this is our position. Without understanding our real position, we are perplexed with these all worldly problems, which are all false. Janasya mohayam ahamamami. Moha means illusion. This is illusion. Everyone is under this illusion. So one is intelligent, if he can understand that this worldly position is simply illusion, all the thoughts which have concocted based on the principle of I and mine, this is all illusion. So one is intelligent to get out of the illusion, he surrenders to a spiritual mind. That is being exemplified by Arjuna. When he is too much perplexed, he was talking with Krishna's friend, but he saw that this friendly talking will not solve my question, and he selected Krishna because he knew the value of Krishna. At least he ought to have known his friend. And he knows that Krishna is accepted, although he is acting as my friend, but by great authority Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was known to him. he said that, I'm so much puzzled that I I cannot understand, even accepting that I shall be victorious in this battle, still I shall not be happy. What to speak of being victorious of this planet? If I become the king of all other planets, or if I become a demigod in the higher planetary system, still this distress cannot be mitigated.
Verse 11, the Blessed Lord said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise will mourn neither for the living nor the dead. Purport. The Lord at once took the position of the teacher and chastised the student, calling him indirectly a fool. The Lord said, you are talking like a learned man, but you do not know that one who is learned, one who knows what is body and what is soul, does not lament for any stage of the body, neither in the living nor in the dead condition. As explained in later chapters, it will be clear that knowledge means to know matter and spirit, and the control of both. Arjuna argued that religious principles should be given more importance than politics or sociology, but he did not know that knowledge of matter, soul, and the supreme is more important than religious formularies. And because he was lacking in that knowledge, he should not have posed himself as a very learned man. As he did not happen to be a very learned man, he was consequently lamenting for something which is unworthy of lamentation. The body is born and is destined to be vanquished today and tomorrow. Therefore, the body is not as important as the soul. One who knows this is actually learned. And for him, there is no cause for lamentation in any stage of the material body.
He says, Krishna says, that this body, either dead or alive, has nothing to lament. Dead body, suppose when the body is dead, it has no value. What is the use of lamenting? You can lament for many thousands of years, it will not come to life. So, there is no cause of lamenting on dead body. And so far, spirit soul is concerned, that is eternal. Even if it appears to be dead, or the death of this body, he does not die. So, why one should, my father is dead, my such relative is dead and crying. He is not dead. This knowledge one must have. Then he will be cheerful in all cases. And he will be interested simply in Krishna consciousness. There is nothing to be lamented for the body, either alive or dead. That is being instructed by Krishna in this chapter. Wrong.
Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Purport. In the Vedas, in the Kathi Upanishad, as well as in the Svetasvatara Upanishad, it is said that the
Shitasvata.
There
are many Upanishads. They are called Vedas. Upanishads are the headlines of the Vedas. Just like in a chapter, there is a headline. Similarly, these Upanishads are the headlines of the Vedas. Got open. There are 108 Upanishads. Principle. Out of that, 9 Upanishads are very important. So, out of those 9 Upanishads, Sitashatara Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad, Vaitareya Upanishad, Isha Upanishad, Mandu Upanishad, Mandukka Upanishad, Katho Upanishad, these Upanishads are very important. And whenever there is argument on some point, one has to give reference from this Upanishad. if one can give reference from the Upanishads, then his argument is very strong. Sabda pramana. Pramana means evidence. Evidence, if you want to gain in your case, just like you have to give very nice evidence in a court. Similarly, according to Vedic culture, the evidence is pramana. Pramana means evidence, sabda pramana. There are three kinds of evidences accepted by the learned scholar in Vedic culture. The one evidence is pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means direct perception. Just like I am seeing you, you are seeing me. I am present, you are present. This is direct perception. And there is another evidence which is called konuma. Suppose in that room, and I am coming just now, I do not know whether any person there is or not, but there is some sound. I can imagine there is somebody. This is called onuma. In logic it is called hypothesis. That is also evident. If by my bona fide suggestion I can give evidence, that is also accepted. So direct evidence and what you call hypothesis or suggestion evidence. But the strong evidence is sabda prama, sabda, sabda brahma. That means Veda. If one can give evidence from the quotation of the Vedas, then it is, it has to be accepted. Nobody can deny the Vedic evidence. That is the system. How it is so? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given very nice example. That is in the Vedas. Just like we keep corn cell in the deity's room, corn cell is considered very pure, transcendental. Otherwise, how you can keep before deity and you blow corn cell, you offer water with concept. How you can offer? But what is this concept? The concept is the bone of an animal. It is nothing but bone of an animal. But the Vedic injunction is that if you touch the bone of an animal, you will have to take bath immediately. You become impure. Now one may say, oh, this is contradiction. In one place it is said that if you touch the bone of an animal, then you have to purify yourself by taking bath immediately. And here the bone of an animal is in the deity's room. It is contradiction, is it not? The bone of an animal is impure, how we can place it in the deity's room? And if bone of an animal is pure, then what is the meaning of becoming impure and take part? We find similar contradiction in the Vedic injunction. But because it is said by the Vedas that bone of an animal is impure, you have to accept. But this bone of an animal concept is pure. Just like sometimes our students are perplexed when you say that onion is not to be taken, but onion is a vegetable. So, that Sabda Praman means the Vedic evidence should be taken in such a way that no argument. There is meaning, there is no contradiction. There is meaning. Just like several times I told you that cow dung. Cow dung is, according to Vedic injunction, is pure. And in India it is actually used as antiseptic. In villages especially, there is large quantities of cow dung and they are all over the house. They are smeared to make the house antiseptic. And actually, after smearing cow dung in your room, when it is dried, you will find refreshed, everything antiseptic. It is practical experience. And one doctor, Ghoshal, a great chemist, he examined cow dung. So why cow dung is so much important in the Vedic literature, he found that cow dung contains all the antiseptic properties. In Ayurveda, cow dung dried and burnt into ashes is used as tooth powder. It is very antiseptic tooth powder. Similarly, there are many things, many injunctions in the Vedas which may apparently appear as contradiction, but they are not contradiction. They are on experience, on transcendental experience. Just like a father says to his child, that, my dear child, you take this food. It is very nice. And the child takes, believing the father, authority. The father says, the child knows that my father, he is confident that my father will never give me anything which is void. Therefore he accepts it blindly, without any reason. Without any analysis of the food, whether it is pure or impure. You have to believe in such a way. You go to a hotel, because it is licensed by the government, you have to believe when you take foodstuff there, it is nice, it is pure, or it is antiseptic, or it is... But how do you know it? The authority. Because this hotel is authorized by the government, it has got license. That's all, you believe. Similarly, Sabda Praman means, as soon as there is evidence in the Vedic literature, this is this, pure breath, then your knowledge is perfect. Because you are accepting things from the perfect source. Similarly, Krishna. Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever he says, it is all right. Accept. Arjuna says at last, Sarva Vinitam Ritanamanne. My dear Krishna, whatever you say, I accept it. That should be our principle. Why should we bother about researching? When the evidence is there from the authority, to save time, to save trouble, one has to accept the authority, actual authority. This is the Vedic process. And therefore Veda says, tadvijnanartham sa gurumeva vigacchet. Tadvijnanartham, in order to learn that transcendental science, one has to accept Guru, Guru Meva. Certainly, one must. Otherwise there is no possibility. Therefore, Krishna he is accepted here as the spiritual master of Arjuna, and as the spiritual master or father or teacher has got right to chastise his son or disciple. His son is never dissatisfied when father chastises. That is the etiquette and everywhere. Even the father is sometimes violent, the child or the son tolerates. The typical example is Pindar Maharaj. Innocent child, Krishna consciousness child, but his father tortures. He never says anything. All right. Similarly, Krishna, just after taking the position of the spiritual master, is designating Arjuna as a grand fool. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said that my spiritual master found me a great fool. Was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a fool? And can it be possible that anyone can become the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Both things are impossible. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even not accepting him as incarnation of Krishna, he simply accepts him as ordinary scholar or man. There was no comparison of his scholarship. But he says that my spiritual master found me a great mood. What is that meaning? That a person, even in my position, always remains a fool before his spiritual master. That is good policy. Nobody should impose that what you know, I know better than you. This position is not denied. And other point is, from the disciple's point of view, why he should remain always a fool before a person unless he is actually authorized, actually so great that he can teach me as a fool. One should select a spiritual master in that way, and as soon as the spiritual master is selected, one should remain always a fool, although he may not be a fool. But the better position is like that. So, Arjuna, instead of remaining on the same level as friend and friend, voluntarily accepting to remain a fool before Krishna. And Krishna is accepting that you are a fool. You are talking just like a learned man, but you are a fool. Because you are lamenting on a matter which no learned man laments. That means a fool laments that you are a fool. Therefore you are a fool. It is in a roundabout way, just like what is called in logic is a parenthesis or something like that. Yes, that. If I say that you look like that person who stole my watch, that means you look like a thief. Similarly, Krishna in a roundabout way says that, my dear Arjuna, you are talking just like a learned man, but you are lamenting on a subject matter which no learned man laments.
In the Svetasvatara Upanishad, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the maintainer of innumerable living entities in terms of their different situations, according to the individual work and the reaction to work. That Supreme Personality of Godhead is also, by his plenary portions, alive in the heart of every living entity. Only saintly persons who can see, within and without, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead can actually attain to a perfect peace eternal. The same Vedic truth enumerated herein is given to Arjuna, and in that connection to all persons in the world who pose themselves as very learned, but factually have but a poor fund of knowledge. The Lord says clearly that he himself, Arjuna, and all the kings who are assembled in the battlefield are eternally individual beings, and that the Lord is eternally the maintainer of the individual living entities.
What is the original verse?
Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these
things. Never there was a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor these people. Now, he analytically says, I, you, and first person, second person, and third person. That is complete. I, you, and others. So, Krishna says, never there was a time when I, you, and all these persons who have assembled in this battlefield did not exist. That means, in the past, I, you, and all of them, they individually existed. Individually. The Mayavadi theory is that the ultimate spirit is impersonal. Then how Krishna can say that never there was a time when I, you and all these persons never existed? That means I existed as individual, you existed as individual, and all these persons who are before us, they also existed as individuals. Never there was a time. Now, what is your answer, Dinda? Krishna says, never we were mixed up. We are all individuals. And he said, never we shall remain, never there will be time when we shall not exist. That means in the past we existed as individuals, in the present there is no doubt we are existing as individuals, and in the future also we shall continue to remain as individuals. Then when the impersonal conception comes at all, in the past, present, future, there are three times. And all the times we are individual. Then when God becomes impersonal, or I become impersonal, you become impersonal, where is the chance? Now Krishna clearly says, and there was never a time when I, you and all these individual kings or soldiers, that we did not exist in the past. So in the past we existed as individuals, and the present there is no doubt we are existing as individuals. You are my disciple, I am your spiritual master, but you have got his individuality, I have got my individual. If you don't agree with me, you can leave me. That is your individuality. So, if you don't like Krishna, you cannot become in Krishna consciousness. That is an individuality. So this individuality continues. Similarly, Krishna, if he does not like you, he may refuse you, Krishna consciousness. Not that because you are following all the rules and regulations and Krishna is obliged to accept you. No. If he thinks that he is nonsense, I cannot accept him. He'll reject you. So he has got individuality, you have got individuality, everyone has got individuality. Where is the question of impersonalism come? There is no possibility. And if you don't believe Krishna, you don't believe Vedas, apart from anything else, Krishna is accepted as the supreme authority, the personality of Godhead, then if you don't believe him, then where is the possibility of advancing in knowledge? There is no possibility of. So there is no question of individuality. This is the statement of authority. Now, apart from statement of authority, you have to apply your reason and argument. Oh. Can you say anywhere there is agreement between two parties? No. Go study in the state, or in the family, in the community, in the nation. There is no agreement. Even in the assembly, even in your country. Suppose there is synod. Everyone has got country's interest, but he's thinking in his individual way. One is thinking that my country's welfare will be in this line. Otherwise, why there is competition during election of president? Everyone is saying that America needs Nixon. And another president, he also says, America needs me. So, but why two? If America needs you, or you are both, no, there is individuality. Mr. Nixon's opinion is something else, Mr. another candidate's opinion is something else. In the assembly, in the Senate, in the Congress, in the United Nations, everyone is fighting with his individual view. Otherwise, why there are so many flags in the world? You cannot say anywhere impersonality. Personality is predominating everywhere. Everywhere. The personality, individuality is predominant. So, we have to accept. We have to apply our reason, arguments, and accept the authority. Then the question is solved. Otherwise, it is very difficult.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Individual Person. The Lajna, the Lord's Eternal Associate, and all the kings assembled there are individual, eternal persons. It is not that they did not exist as individuals in the past, and it is not that they will not exist, they will not remain as eternal persons. Their individuality existed in the past, and their individuality will continue in the future without interruption. Therefore, there is no cause for lamentation for anyone of the individual living entity. The Mayavadi, or a personal theory, that after liberation, the individual soul, separated by the covering of Maya, or illusion, will merge into the impersonal Brahman,
now, the Mayavadi says that this individuality is Maya. So, their conception is that spirit, the whole spirit is a lump. Their theory is Ghatakas Patakas. Ghatakas Patakas means just like sky. The sky is an expanse, an impersonal expanse. So, in a pot, in a water pot, in a pitcher that is closed, now within the pitcher there is also sky, a small sky. Now, as soon as the pitcher is broken, the outside, the bigger sky, and a small sky within the pitcher mixes. That is Mayavadi. But this analogy cannot be applied. Analogy means points of similarity. That is the law of analogy. The sky cannot be compared, the small sky within the pitcher cannot be compared with a living entity. It is material. Matter. Sky is matter. an individual living entity is spirit. So, how you can say that like a small ant, it is spirit, soul, it has got its individuality. But a big dead stone, hill or mountain, it has no individuality. So matter has no individuality. Spirit has individuality. So, if the points of similarity differ, then there is no analogy. There is a law of analogy. So, you cannot analogize with matter and spirit. Therefore, this analogy is fallacious. The ghatakas, patakas. Then another evidence is in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that mamai vāṅsa jīva bhūta. These individual souls, they are my part and parcel. Jīva loke sanātam. And they are eternal. That means eternally, they are part and parcel. Then when, how this Mayava theory can be supported, that due to Maya, being covered by Maya, they are now appearing individual separate, but when the covering of Maya will be taken away, they will mix up just like the small sky within the picture, and the big sky outside mixes. So this analogy is fallacious from logical point of view as well as from authentic Vedic point of view. They are eternally fragments. And there are many other evidences from Bhagavad Gita. A Bhagavad Gita says that a spirit cannot be fragmented. So, if you say that by covering up Maya, the spirit has become fragment, and that is not possible. It cannot be cut. Just like if you cut one big piece of paper into small fragments, it is possible because it is matter. But spiritually, it is not possible. Spiritually, eternally, the fragments are fragments, and the Supreme is Supreme. Krishna is the Supreme, and we are fragmental parts, we are fragments, eternal. These things are explained in Bhagavad Gita, in different places, very nicely. I request you all to keep one copy of this Bhagavad Gita, every one of you, and read it carefully. And there will be examination in the coming September. So, of course that is voluntary, but I request you to prepare for the examination next September. And one who will pass the examination will get the title Bhakti Sāt. Have you distributed that?
There are some theories that we only think of individuality in conditioned states supported herein. Krishna clearly says that in the future also, the individuality of the Lord and others, as it is...
Krishna never says that after liberation, these individual souls will mix up with the Supreme Soul. Krishna never says in the Bhagavad Gita.
Krishna clearly says that in the future also the individuality of the Lord and others, as it is confirmed in the Upanishads, will continue eternally. This statement of Krishna is authoritative.
Yes, Upanishad says, nitya nityanam. Now, nitya means eternal. And the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Eternal. And we, individual souls, we are also many eternal. So he is the leader eternal. Eka bahunam, how he is leader? Eka bahunam vidudhati kaman. That one singular number eternal person, he is supplying all the needs of other eternal. These things are clearly said in the Veda. And actually, we are experiencing, just like in Christian theology, the individual goes to the church and prays God, give us our daily bread. Why? He is asking God. Of course, this is his class of men, and now teaching them, where is bread? You are going to church. You come to us, we shall supply you bread. So, this Vedic thought is there also. The Veda says, Eka bhunam vidudati kama. That Supreme One, Eternal, is supplying, is maintaining all other individuals, Eternal. And Bible also enjoins that you go ask for your bread to God. Unless God is maintainer and supplier, why this injunction is there? Therefore, he is the leader, he is the maintainer. And the Veda clearly says, this is the position, he is the supreme. And by knowing this, one can become in peace. That is the Vedic injunction.
The statement of Krishna is a God because Krishna cannot be subject to illusion. If individuality...
Yes. If the Mahabharata philosopher says that this statement of Krishna is in Maya, that he says that everyone was individual in the past. No, in the past everyone was one, lump sum, homogeneous. And by Maya, we have become individual. If the Mahabharata says like that, then Krishna becomes one of the conditioned soul. He loses his authority. Because conditioned soul cannot give you the truth. I am conditioned soul, I cannot say something which is absolute. So Krishna is accepted as the absolute. So if the Mayavadi theory is accepted, then Krishna's theory has to be rejected. If Krishna is rejected, then there is no need of reading Krishna's book, Bhagavad Gita. It is useless. Waste of time. He is a conditioned soul like us. Because we cannot take any instruction from a conditioned soul. The spiritual master, even if he takes that he is conditioned soul, but he does not speak anything from his own side. He speaks from Krishna's side. So, unless the Vedic principle is that unless one is not liberated from the material condition, he cannot give us any perfect knowledge. The conditioned soul, however he may be, academically advanced, educated, he cannot give us any perfect knowledge. Only one who is above the condition of this material laws, he can give us the perfect knowledge. Similarly, Shankaracharya, he is also impersonalist, but he accepts Krishna, the supreme authority. So, Bhagavan, Sam Krishna, Krishna is that supreme personality of Godhead. The modern Mayavadi philosopher, they do not disclose this statement of Shankaracharya to cheat people. But Shankaracharya's statement is there, we can give evidence. He accepts Krishna as the supreme authority. He has written so many nice poems praising or worshipping Krishna. And at the last time, He says, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Romate. You rascal fools. Oh. You have, depending on grammar to understand, this is all nonsense. Bhaja Govindam. Just worship Govindam. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam. Three times he says. Just worship Govindam. Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says three times, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama. Three times means giving too much stress. Just like we sometimes say, do this, do this, do this. That means Navardhina. Finish. All stress. So as soon as one thing is three times stressed, that means final. So Sankaracharya says, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Murahamate. Murah, as several times explained, Murah means that life. You are depending on your grammatical understanding. Do king karana. Do king. These are grammatical affix and prefix. Pratarana. So you are depending on this verbal root, that verbal root, and creating, interpreting your meaning in a different way. All this nonsense is nonsense. This joking karana, your grammatical jugglery of words will not save you at the time of death. You rascal, you just worship Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. That is the instruction of Sankaracharya. Because he was a devotee, he was a great devotee. But he pretended to be an atheist. Because he was to deal with the atheist. Unless he presents himself as an atheist, the atheist followers will not hear him. Therefore, he presented Mayavad philosophy for the time being. The Mayavad philosophy cannot be accepted eternally. The eternal philosophy is Bhagavad Gita. That is the body. Go on.
Individuality is not a fact, so Krishna would not have stressed it so much, even for the future. The Mayavadi may.
Yes, he says that there was no such time when we are not individual, and there will be no such time in the future when we shall not remain individual. As so far present is concerned, we are all individual, you know. So where is the possibility of losing individuality, becoming personal? No, there is no possibility. This voidism, impersonalism, their artificial way of negating the perplexing variegatedness of this material existence. That is, the negative side only. That is not a positive side. The positive side is that, as Krishna says, taptadehaṁ punarjanmanaiti māmeti kaunte. After giving up this material tabernacle, one comes to me. Just like after leaving this room, you have to enter another room. You cannot say that after leaving this room, I shall live in this car. Similarly, after leaving this body, if you go to Krishna and the spiritual kingdom, your individuality will be there, but you will have that spiritual body. When there is spiritual body, there is no perplexity. Just like your body is different from the body of the aquatics. The aquatics, they have no disturbance in the water because their body is made like. They can live there peacefully. You cannot live. Similarly, the fishes, if you take them out of the water, they cannot live. Similarly, because you are spirit soul, you cannot live peacefully in this material world. This is foreign. But as soon as you enter into the spiritual world, your life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Real peace. Tattādi haṁ punar janma naiti. Krishna says, after leaving this body, he does not come to this perplexity, the material world. Māneti, he comes to me. Me means his kingdom, his paraphernalia, his associates, everything. If some rich man or some king says, all right, you come to me, that does not mean that is impersonal. If the king says, come to me, that he has got his palace, he has got his secretary, he has got his nice apartment, everything is there. How it can be impersonal? But he says only, come to me. This me means everything. This me does not mean impersonal. And we get information from Brahma Sangita, Lakshmi sahasra satasam ramase brahmanam, suravi ravi palayantam. So he's not impersonal. He is raising cows. He's with hundreds and thousands of goddess of fortune, his friends, his paraphernalia, his kingdom, his house, everything is there. But there is no question of impersonality. Yes.
The mind body may argue that the individuality spoken of by Krishna is not spiritual but material. Even accepting the argument that the individuality is material, how can one distinguish Krishna's individuality?
They also think of Krishna therefore as material. And that is also condemned by Krishna, you'll find, abhajananti māna mūrha mānasim tanumāsa. Because I have appeared just like a human being, these rascals derive at me that I am also one of them. Mūrha. Mūrha means rascal. Just like Dr. Radhakrishnan says, it is not to Krishna. Krishna, it is the soul within the Krishna. That means he identifies Krishna as one of us. His body and his soul divine. But Krishna is not a, Krishna says, Sammavami Atmamaya. I appear in my own original stature. I do not change. He changed. His individual soul, prakriti kriyamanani, he is conducted by, influenced by this prakriti nature. But he is not conducted or influenced by the nature. He comes in his own influence. As he is. Atmamaya. This is the distinction. Therefore, he does not change body. When I come, I change body. This time I may have this body, next time I may have another body. That is material. And therefore I forget. Just like Krishna says in the fourth chapter, that many times you and I came, you have forgotten. Because we change our material body, therefore we forget. These things all will be explained. Gone.
Krishna affirms individuality in the past and confirms individuality in the future also. He has confirmed individuality in many ways. The impersonal Brahma has been declared subordinate to him. Krishna has maintained spiritual individuality all along, and if he is accepted as an ordinary conditioned soul and individual consciousness, then his Bhagavad Gita has no value as an authoritative scripture. A common man with all the defects of human frailty is unable to teach that which is worth hearing. Bhagavad Gita is above such literature. No mundane book compares with the Bhagavad Gita. When one accepts Krishna as an ordinary man, the Bhagavad Gita loses all importance. The Mayavadi argues that the plurality mentioned in this verse is conventional and that the plurality refers to the body. But previous to this verse, such a bodily conception has already been condemned. After condemning the bodily conception of living entities, how was it possible for Krishna to place a conventional proposition on the body again? Therefore, the plurality is on spiritual grounds, as is confirmed by great teachers like Sri Ramanuja. It is clearly mentioned in many places in the Bhagavad Gita that this spiritual plurality is understood by those who are devotees of the Lord. Those who are envious of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead have no bona fide access to the great literature. The non-devotee's approach to the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita is something like a bee looking at a bottle of honey. One cannot have a taste of honey unless one can taste within the bottle. Similarly, the mysticism of the Bhagavad Gita can be understood only by devotees. No one else can taste it, as is stated in this fourth chapter of the book. Nor can the Gita be touched by persons who envy the very existence of the Lord. Therefore, the Mayavadi explanation of the Gita is a most misleading presentation of the whole truth. Lord Chaitanya has forbidden us to read commentaries made by the Mayavadi.
Yes, Lord Chaitanya clearly said, Mayavadi bhasya sunile hai sarvanas. One meets a disaster if he hears a Mayavadi philosopher to understand Vedic literature. That is his injury. Mayavadi bhasya sunile hai sarvanas. Sarvanas means disaster. It is actually disaster. Mayavadi bhasya, Mayavadi commentary, they simply try the individual, teeny, individual, spiritual spark that you are the supreme. So he is just Dr. Frog. He popped up when at one time it will bust. Therefore it is disastrous. Mayavadi bhasya sunile hai sarvanas.
Therefore, the Mayavadi explanation of the Gita is the most misleading presentation of the whole truth. Lord Chaitanya has forbidden us to read commentaries made by the Mayavadis and warns that one who takes an understanding of the Mayavadi philosophy loses all power to understand the real mystery of the Gita. If individuality refers to the empirical universe, then there is no need for teachings of the Lord. The plurality of the individual souls and of the Lord is an eternal fact, and it is confirmed by the Vedas, as above mentioned.
So you read very carefully Bhagavad Gita. You have to meet so many opposing elements, so you have to argue and convince them.
I read somewhere in your writings that in order to understand the confidential affairs of Radha and Krishna, one must serve the gopis, who are servants of the gopis. And I assume that you were a servant of the gopis. Is that correct? Or how do I serve the servants of the gopis?
Gopis, they are not conditioned souls. They are liberated spirits. So first of all, you have to come out from this conditioned life, then the question of serving gopi will come. Don't be, at the present moment, very eager to serve gopi. Just try to get out of your conditional life. Then time will come, finally you'll be able to serve gopi. In this conditional state, we cannot serve anything. Krishna is performing. But Krishna gives us opportunity to accept service in this Achyamarga. Just like we keep the duty of Krishna or Prasadam under regulation and principle. So we have to make advance in this way. This chanting, hearing and worshipping in the temple, arati, offering Prasadam. In this way, as we make advance, then automatically Krishna will reveal to you and you will understand your position, how you have to. Gopis means who are always constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. So that eternal relationship will be revealed. So we have to wait for that. Immediately, we cannot imitate serving gopis. That's a good idea, that we shall serve gopis. But it will take time, not immediately. Immediately we have to follow the rules and regulations and routine work, yes.
Do the liberated souls also seek after this Krishna consciousness?
They become perfect in Krishna consciousness. Liberated soul means we are just trying to be Krishna conscious. We are not actually in full Krishna consciousness. We are just like a diseased person is trying to recover. So one who is recovered, there is no question of his healthy life. We are trying to be healthy, our present position. So you are trying to be Krishna conscious. So one who is liberated, he is nothing but Krishna conscious. You follow? Yes. Krishna consciousness is the perfection of life. So we are trying to reach that platform of perfection by regulative means. But when we are actually on the platform, there is nothing but Krishna consciousness. That is the perfection of life. That is our actual liberated stage. Jiveer Sarupaya Nitya Krishna Das. That is our Sarup. Sarup means actual constitutional position. And Mukti, liberation, means to come to that real position. Just like healthy life means to come to the normal life from the disease stage. That is healthy life or normal life. So Krishna consciousness is our normal consciousness. This normal consciousness is now polluted. We have got so many other consciousness. So this is an attempt to get out of all infected consciousness, come to the real stage of pure Krishna consciousness.
It says in Srimad Bhagavatam that Vyasadeva was afraid that Siddha Goswami, when he was born, would leave home because he was already a liberated soul.
Yes.
But he was attracted to Krishna's pastime.
Yes. That is the sign of liberation. Because to become attracted by Krishna, that is our normal condition. So he was liberated, therefore, normally he became attracted with Krishna's pastime. That is his normal life. One who is not attracted by Krishna's pastime, he will be attracted by President Johnson's pastime. One has to be attracted. One has to be attracted by the dog's pastime. Then you see a person, how he is serving the dog. The dog stands, passes urine, he also stands. He's a human being and he is waiting for the dog passing urine. How much he is attending the pastimes of the dog. So if you not attracted by the pastimes of God, then you will have to be attracted by the pastimes of the dog. There is no other alternative. Either Maya or Krishna.